Welcome to the Ask Evie Show, and a special thanks for being here today on an atypical Southern California day. One of those things that people never think happens is actually raining here today. And the purpose of this show, if you're just tuning in for the first time, is to give people a forum to ask about whatever challenges may be going on for them in any area of their life. And being both a practical mystic and a psychotherapist, I'm here to offer guidance based on both psychology and spirit. But today, it's all about love and relationships, and a special guest will be joining us in just a moment. You're in for a real treat. We've gotten lots of emails, questions, wonderful email questions, I guess, in anticipation of today's show. And we'll be talking all about love and relationships, whether it's a romantic relationship, family relationship, friend, parent, child. It's all about love today. And I want to encourage you to call in, even if you emailed us, because we give the callers, obviously, the top priority during the show, and we want to make sure your question gets answered. And now, it is my great pleasure to introduce to you Audra Garcia, who is a phenomenal psychic. We are so blessed to have her here today. She's one of the premier readers on 12listen.com, which is a worldwide psychic network. And Audra also trains professional psychics to give more accurate, specific, focused readings and from a heart space. So I'm just delighted she's decided to join us today. She's going to be bringing us some of that great grounded Rocky Mountain energy because she hails from the Denver area. And in addition to all that, she's just an awesome human being. So, Audra, are you there?
I am here. Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much for such a warm welcome.
Audra,
you're too kind.
We're so glad that you're here today. You know, having known Audra for a long time, I just can't say enough what a treat you're in for, because one of the things I really love and admire about Audra is she'll tell you like it is with heart and compassion in a really loving and focused way. So, Audra, are we ready? Shall we get going?
Let's do it.
Awesome. Okay. So the lines are open, and the number is 888-815-9756, 888-815-9756. And I know we have folks from Oz and the UK, and you can find additional call-in or Skype in numbers on BBS Radio. And let's start with an email question, which is from Yasmin in Melbourne, Australia. And her question, Audra, is, I separated from my husband in May 2009, and we're great friends, and everything has been very amicable. I should also mention we have two boys, 6 and 3. The last 2 months, we've reconnected due to our own personal growth, but I'm still not 100% that he is the man for me. I love being on my own right now, and we are, quote, living in the moment and talking brutally honestly with each other. However, I feel he's wanting more from me than what we agreed to. On the practical side, he ticks a lot of the yes boxes for a perfect relationship. He's my best friend. I love him. I don't want to hurt him. I've been sending out lots of pink light and asking angelic help regularly for clarity. What information do you receive about this?
Oh, that's a great question. And, you know, there's so many people who are in similar situations where it's like, gosh, there's good reason for me to be in this relationship, but I still kind of have this feeling in my tummy that maybe it's a no. And I'm going to quote something I remember from the Oprah show. I don't remember what the episode was about, but it was doubt equals don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like for Yasmin, it's like she has that feeling that she can't let herself go completely with this relationship, and it feels like she really needs to trust that. It definitely feels like, I mean, yeah, they have kids together, they have a history together. It feels like they have a point and purpose to being connected. But it does feel like as far as long-term relationship goals go, I feel like there's hesitation there for good reason. I feel like she is looking for a little something else. If she's concerned about hurting him, I think it would be best to maybe pull back a little bit, but not even completely, because I still feel like there's a point and purpose to them spending some time together right now.
Yeah.
Is that what you feel too?
Yeah, that's the same hit I'm getting, and I also focused in on how she's. And you can't see the email. I love being on my own is in capital letters. and my sense is she's. You know, it's this. What I'm seeing around that is she has felt very empowered and she's been very clear, and
right.
Now it seems to be confused. And I love what your Oprah quote. So, I think spot on. They're always going to be together as parents in a loving relationship, but I think the nature. Or the love relationship.
And it's good right now because there's some boundaries.
Yeah, very cool. Well, thanks.
Yeah.
Well, we have Susan from California on line 2. Susan, are you there?
Hi, Evie. Hi, Audra.
Hi.
Hi, Susan. Welcome to the show. What's your question for Audra today?
Well, Audra, I am a 40-year-old woman. I've been divorced for 13 years. I've raised a son of my own. And I haven't really been serious with relationships for, you know, like really gotten serious with relationships for a while after a really bad breakup that I had about 8 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And right now, I really feel like I'm clear on my intentions. I'm looking for a serious relationship. I'm looking for a man that will put my needs and feelings first. Family is really super important to me, and I really would like another opportunity for either a built-in family or to have another child.
Mm-hmm.
And my question to you is, am I having a midlife crisis, or do you think this is a realistic want? I mean, should I just forget about it and just say, you know what, just be happy with, you know, being single and don't worry about it?
I feel like this is a realistic desire for you, and actually it feels like it's a guided desire. Here's the thing, is I feel like for a lot of years there, after that 8 year ago, you said breakup, I feel like you kind of at that particular moment decided, okay, I'm done with this for a while. And it's almost like energetically you kind of cloaked yourself. Does that make sense? Like, I feel like you were like, I don't want anyone even in my space. No relationships,
yes.
Please. So I feel like you've had like the, you know, your light turned off, like if it is a cab. and I feel like recently you've been like, well, yeah, right? I mean, silly, but that's what it's
love
like.
It. No, I love it.
I'm looking for the man that has his light on.
Well, right. But you just uncloaked. You just finally are like, okay, I'm back here in the game. So I feel like you need to give this a little bit more time. Just because you decided you're ready doesn't mean it's today. Okay? It's
okay.
Like you got to practice or not even practice, play. That's a better word. Play with the energy here a little bit. It's like this isn't now job interview time and you've got to get down to business and make this happen. That is defeating your purpose. You want somebody where there's a soft connection, where it feels gentle and supportive and nurturing. And in order to get that, you can't find it by pushing and being like, where is he? What's going on? Does that make sense?
Yes.
So I feel like for you right now, and I feel like every time you've been out in situations, social situations where there could potentially be someone, you're like, okay, where is he? It's almost like a frantic looking around. Make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. And I feel like what you need here to help you get what you want is a calming down of that. This is like really a crazy way to say this, but do you ever watch hockey?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, my kids play hockey.
I'm a big football fan.
Okay. Well, my kids play hockey. And like in hockey, you know, it's kind of frantic, right? Guys are all over the place. The puck is moving fast. And it can look crazy out there. But really, the only way you're ever going to get the puck is if you keep your stick down and stay calm. Okay?
Okay.
And for you, you're like skating around with your stick up. And it's like we need you to just calm down and put the stick on the ice.
Okay. Well, do you have any tips on how I can do that?
Yeah, I feel like for you, you've got to get a little more playful about it instead of looking at it like a job interview or like trying to land a new job. Okay?
Okay.
So get playful. So when you're going to go out, be like, ooh, I wonder what's going to happen. Ooh, don't I look cute? Like, put the attention on you feeling good, having fun. And that's going to be the equivalent of you keeping the stick down and creating a soft foundation for the relationship that you're wanting. Otherwise, it's just frantic energy, and you're going to attract somebody that's not what you're looking for.
Gotcha. Okay, well, thanks.
I hope that helps. Yeah. Thanks, Susan.
Yeah, it does. All right. It really does. Thanks.
Great. Well, Audrey, we have another email question from Andrea from the Netherlands. And she's saying that she's a very spiritual person, and she's saying she sees now how difficult and what a karmic relationship she'd had with her husband. And she also sees clearly the lessons that they've chosen for this lifetime, and she's working on it. But her husband is rejecting any spiritual approach of our relationship, and he has a feeling he's losing me because of my spiritual growth. This is also the reason he denies any suggestion to look for solution in a spiritual way against ego-based. And, you know, which is how is he suffering in the marriage and what has to change to make it work, you know, so on and so forth. My dilemma is we're good friends living together, taking care of our two beautiful crystal kids. We don't fight. And because we both have a very strong personality, we look to avoid conflict and we end up distancing from each other.
Ouch.
I'm sad to admit there's no passion in our marriage anymore. But I feel compassion for him and see him suffering in his own trouble and not wanting to take a look in the mirror and go deep inside and still looking for answers outside and by others. And it's difficult for me to decide, are we really ready and right with each other? Because I still feel a strong love for him as a friend and as a buddy and as a family, and I'm not sure what to do. I mean, should I wait till he sees the light, if you understand what I mean, or you know, how to decide how long our lessons need to go on, and just because someone's your soulmate doesn't recognize his role in it. And so this is the kind of stuff I go through. The angels keep telling me we are working on your marriage, or sometimes, ironically, they say let go, and which is clear to me. How do you really know if it's time to go?
Ooh, well, I don't know my head on this, Evie, and I'd love to hear what you have to say about this, too. But my head is that the let go is more about letting go of the expectations of what this needs to look like than specifically let go of the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't feel like it's time to get out of this one.
Yeah, and it's almost like, you know, it reminds me of that old book, We'd Have a Great Relationship If It Wasn't for You.
great title.
we want that other person to change, and it sounds like Andrea's, like, with her spiritual growth, has kind of shifted to a different vibration, and jury's still out whether he's going to be or not. And I completely agree with you. I think it's important for her to keep focusing on her own growth, but be projecting that love to him and that acceptance.
Right.
I think he's feeling not accepted and not loved by her, even though it's almost like I get the sense that there's a checklist that she has,
right,
like about did he show any spiritual signs this week or whatever. So,
and then she's deciding that whether or not he behaves in a specific spiritual way is an indicator of their connection, and it isn't.
Right.
There is connection here with them. There is. Right. There's a lot in this relationship, and he doesn't have to use the exact same languaging and behave the exact way she is in order for them to be connected.
Right.
It's like she doesn't need her spirituality validated by him.
Exactly. It's funny sometimes, like, how the spirituality can be the other, quote, person in the relationship. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
it's,
I think,
hard,
it's,
though. This is a tough position.
Yeah.
So I definitely feel for, you said Andrea, right? Andrea.
Yeah.
But I think it's time for her to let go of what she thinks it needs to look like and just stay present with her own inner spirit world. And it feels like there can be transformation in this relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, and I sense it's like she's still in a state of transformation. She's not through this to the other side.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
like looking at the relationship more with the eyes of unconditional love. Easier said than done, I know, sometimes, but that's
Definitely.
What I'm hearing.
Okay.
Definitely. Well, we'll take a quick break to commercial, and we'll be right back. Well, Christmas is coming, and I wanted to talk to you about some amazing gifts, from stocking stuffers to full-blown holiday packages, that Healthy Glow Skin Products is offering. They have a wonderful new callus remover and some spa buffing pads that make great stocking stuffers. And I'm also pleased to announce, whether it's for your clients, your friends, your loved ones, that they're offering a variety of beautiful holiday gift bags. It's a beautiful organza bag filled with all sorts of goodies. And you can see all the particulars on their website, which is healthyglowskinproducts.com. That's healthyglowskinproducts.com. And if you note that you're calling in or ordering from having heard about them on the Ask Evie radio show, they'll be absolutely delighted to give you free shipping. And we are back, and we have a caller, Betsy from Washington. Betsy, are you there?
I am. Hi, ladies. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, you're so welcome. And what's your question for today, Betsy?
Well, I'm sure I'm the only one that's dealing with issues of family and the holidays. quick background. My parents were in their late 30s when I was born. And when I was about 4, I was running around demanding a baby sister or a baby brother. And they adopted a baby girl from birth, so she's always lived with us, always been. So, and she's the only sister I have, only relative. Both our parents have now crossed over. And my sister has discovered her birth parents. And both birth parents have big families, so she all of a sudden has 10 or more brothers, half-brothers and sisters. And she's very, very involved with them, and not so much with me. And that I always feel like I'm the afterthought. You know, I'm the last one that's called when one of her kids has had a baby or is getting married. She's forgotten my birthday I don't know how many years in a row. And I'm upset, but I don't know why. And I say that, but I don't know why, because, you know, honestly, we're not very close anyway. And if she wasn't my sister, she probably wouldn't be a friend. But on the other hand, you know, it upsets me. Her birth families are very, very kind to me. But still, I feel like I'm left out, and I've lost a sister. And it bugs me. I've never said anything to her about it because I don't know that it would do any good. It would probably just make her feel uncomfortable. Mm. But I'm looking for any insight or suggestions other than, you know, just get over it.
Right. Well, Betsy, What I wanted to say a couple of things about this is, you know, that it is so hard with family members. It can be, especially if you haven't been close in your life. And my sense of you is that you've been a great sister. And it must be hard. It's like all of a sudden, it sounds like, you know, you're feeling dumped, like almost, you know, that you had this family and now she's got this new family and you're the afterthought. And when we go through that or even other situations in our life, I know when there's a loss, it brings up all the losses and all the betrayals we've had, and it can feel magnified. And my sense is, Betsy, just to be really kind to yourself about it, because the sense I get is your sister really isn't as conscious a person as you are. So it's not about, I would never want to as glibly say, get over it like people do or enough already. You're really going through some kind of loss of the relationship that never was, is my sense of it. And that, you know, my dad used to say, you can choose your friends but not your relatives, which I laugh at because I know in spiritual circles we all choose everything. But there is something about that. I'm very struck by the fact you said, well, if she wasn't my sister, she wouldn't be in my life. And now here she is in my life, and I've made this space, and she acts like she doesn't care if I'm in her life. You know, and it's like she could take a lot of the focus of your love, your kindness. She can be put in other places. So I would just say I think you're spot on about not talking to her about it because she wouldn't get it. It would come across as like something that really isn't in the radar about, you know, I want attention too, or, you know, I feel left out. It's, you know, I get it might sound like that, but that really isn't it. It's just kind of hurting your heart. So I'm asking you to, you know, just look at kind of, you know, that old saying about turn the other cheek. It didn't mean slap me on the other one and the doormat. When you literally turn your other cheek, it's forcing you to look in a different direction. You know, when you physically turn your head, you're looking at something else. And here's Spirit telling you to focus on the people who are showing you that love, that acceptance, and God, you rock, and, you know, you're such a difference in our life. And I sense you have some people like that, do you?
Well, yes. I mean, I've husband, children, all my in-laws.
Yeah.
The other little piece to the story is that our only, we've got one uncle left living on any side of the family. You know, in that direct line, and he's getting ready to make his transition. So once he goes, I basically have no family of my own generation or older that I, you know, connect with.
Right, at least on this side.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah,
definitely.
And it's like, you know, you're also probably accepting the fact of like maybe, oh wow, now I'm in that position for other people in the family. And, you know, that I know that you know, because what I'm hearing is that, yeah, there's not that there is always that ancestral lineage, and it's very strong for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying that, you know, it's like you're not going to get what you're looking for from her, even if she was in your life and so appreciative and all that. Because you're just, it's like you just dance to different tunes. What's your hit on this, Audra? I've been yakking up a storm here. Audra? Betsy, are you still there?
I'm still here, Evie.
I'm here.
Audra.
Okay, Audra, are you still there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, now we can.
I can now.
No, you can. Okay. I was talking there a couple times, but I was like, oh, I don't think they can hear me.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry about that.
No, no worries at all. So, Betsy, I do feel like your sister, it's more than just the relationship with her that is causing you some pain. It is more the representation of, like, hey, where's any of my family? So I feel like it isn't about her in a way. Does that make sense? It is about, like, the whole. It's about the whole. And I feel like you know, it does bring up just missing your parents and that family unit.
Well, that's
what
true.
What else I think is interesting about this is I feel like, and this sounds a little judgmental, and I don't mean it that way, but I feel like with your sister, part of the reason why she's so involved with this, with both of her birth parents' families is because, like, she really gets to be special. Does that make sense? Like,
I feel like it's like...
Such an outlet of specialness. I mean, it's like really seductive and attractive.
Yeah, she does, and they are. She's related to them. They do that. They're all outdoor people. They're all, you know, let's go do this and let's go do that and let's, you know, ride horses and go hiking and what have you. And I'm a couch potato, and my parents were couch potatoes.
And
so
above
she
and
always
beyond,
felt different.
And above and beyond that, there's an underlying energy here with her and her family of, like, they owe her. So that dynamic is always getting kind of fulfilled. That's what I mean also about her being special. Like, she's special, and they owe her. So it's really
fun. You mean special as in entitled, Audra?
Slightly.
Yeah, slightly.
Not in a bad way, but kind of. And so it's really fulfilling. That's what I mean by the seduction part of it. It's like, who doesn't want that? I mean, I want that. That sounds pretty fun, right? So, But whereas you and her, the energy feels very equal. So what do you have to offer? More of herself, more of that, and that just isn't as fancy.
Yeah, I can see that. I was, when my parents were alive, well, when we were younger and growing up, I was the one that probably got more attention. You know, the better student, the better, you know, whatever.
Right.
The firstborn. Right. You know how the firstborn always gets everything.
Yes, absolutely.
Right.
And she not only had the younger one going, but she was the adopted one. And,
right.
Although I don't know any different. To me, it's no different because I don't have any other brothers or sisters.
Right. And see, that's what I mean. You felt that equal energy with her. Like, hey, we're on the same ground here.
Right.
Right.
And there, she's more on special ground. And that just is, like, again, more seductive, more attractive, more, it feeds more. So
and I don't hear she's wanting to give that up anytime soon. It's almost like, oh, this is just what I've been looking for.
Right.
You know?
I mean, it's like special attention.
Yeah.
And really, I mean, we all, you know, not, maybe not all the time, but we all want some of that. So, and I think for you, Betsy, not only is it, again, the loss of, like, the whole family unit, which is disappointing and hurtful, but also, you know, that Venus retrograde probably was pulling at some of that energy for you. I mean, that makes us feel unseen, unloved, unappreciated. So that's probably why it's hitting you right now.
Yeah. Well, any suggestions about what, you know, I can understand it, but there's a difference between understanding it and dealing with it. Any thoughts on that? You know, how do I get past it so that I'm not...
Well, there's a couple things with that. I think as far as, like, 3D, like, how do you behave with her or how, what dynamic, or, you know, what actions can you take as far as the relationship goes, that's where it feels like not a whole lot because I don't feel like there is any desire to be different, and I feel like if you said anything, you wouldn't be heard. I think Evie was saying that. So I feel like as far as action stuff goes, I feel like you're going to kind of have to roll with it. But energetically, like, what you can do here to kind of help yourself, help bring some relief to the situation is what the whole gift in Venus retrogrades are. It's to kind of allow yourself to access more of that love and appreciation for yourself. Even with, you know, your own family that you do have around, I mean, it's easy for all of us to go into, like, we, you know, we love each other, but a lot of times we're not feeling that energy. I mean, we know it, but we don't feel it. So I think for you, and, you know, Venus has gone direct, so that's going to help, just giving a little bit of extra love and appreciation to maybe not even your family, but maybe people in your, you know, next layer of world. It feels like as you kind of give some of that, that's going to help pull in some more for you. And, you know, I always think just asking your guides and angels to help you feel more love energy can really, really take some of that edge off too.
And, you know, Betsy, another thing I was just hearing too is that, You're a strong person, and people may not realize, you know, we don't always want to sound like we think if we're asking, like, we need a little extra love or attention, it can sound like wah, wah, wah. And I get a sense that it might be a good idea for you to talk with your husband or even some of your own kids, not just in a little way about that you could, you know, do with a little special attention yourself over the holidays, you know?
Okay.
Just I can
do that.
Yeah, and let that in, because I sense that there's a lot around you and that you are such a beautiful person and a strong person and you do so much for other people that people sometimes take it for granted and they don't, you know, that it's not in their conscious mind that, you know, it might be a day that you need those words of encouragement and love and support.
And, you know, no matter how much we're all supposed to, like, love ourselves and give ourselves that, and we can do that, there's something about getting it from others that just feels so much better.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, again, I would, like, just giving out a little bit, like, maybe, you know, wherever you go on a regular basis. I don't know if, like, you do a Starbucks or something like that, but, like, oh, I like that girl because she's always smiling. Like, oh, giving her a compliment or something can help you access some more of that.
Right.
Okay. Help you receive some more, too.
Thank you.
I hope that helps.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Betsy. Thank you so much for the call. And happy holidays. We love you.
Love you, too.
You rock.
Bye.
Well, Audra, this seems like it's always amazing that right before the weekly inspiration time, somebody calls in with just the kind of question that the topic's about. Audra's going to be doing that for us today and talking about love and especially self-love.
Right. And as I was even saying to Betsy, you know, Venus has been retrograde, and Venus is the planet of love and appreciation. And it's made a lot of us, especially people who are ruled by Venus, so Tauruses and Libras, like, feel unloved, unappreciated, unseen. And, you know, I can't even tell you how many clients I've had call who are actually like, why does everybody hate me so much?
Hmm.
And, yeah, so I think everybody's, you know, not seeing their own value. And that's tough. It's tough to be in that energy. But again, the real opportunity is to kind of turn inward and remember what we love about ourselves. If we lost everything, you know, the great job or the great relationship or things we thought we could count on, we still have ourselves. And what about us pulls us through? And the more we can kind of stay focused on what that piece of ourselves, what we have internally, it can really help. And as I was telling Betsy, kind of giving some of that love and appreciation in the outer world, like, you know, maybe telling your kids or your friends, like, gosh, I really appreciate you. You've made a difference for me. That can help start getting some of that energy to come back to you, especially now since Venus went direct yesterday. We should start feeling a little bit of relief around that. And, you know, in these difficult times, when you're not feeling love energy, the tool that I think you can always rely on is, you know, maybe calling on Mother Mary. And if her energy doesn't feel comfortable for you, you can, you know, use any divinity that you feel aligned with. But Mother Mary, I think, feels very safe. She feels very nurturing, very unconditional love energy. So to access her, to invoke her, all you would need to do is, like, take a deep breath, blow off all the stress from the day or whatever concerns have been on your mind, and imagine that Mother Mary is standing right in front of you and see her palms facing you. And notice that there's big beams of pink light that are unconditional love energy coming from her palms. And those beams of light are going directly into you, your body, your aura, into the essence of who you are, filling you so completely with love energy from head to toe, above you, below you, and surrounding you in all directions. And you can take it one step further by asking Mother Mary to help you feel that energy. And as you breathe that in, even for a mere moment, it helps you remember the love that's within you. And let's take another breath of that. Remember, you do love and appreciate you. You're pretty awesome. And now let's you take a break with some music.
And we are back with amazing Audra and Mother Mary, too. How beautiful. And the lines are open for your calls at 888-815-9756, 888-815-9756. And, Audra, we have an email from JR in California who asks, can two souls be in love without crossing boundaries or wading into an emotional affair? I've met someone who I've recognized in my heart for many lifetimes, and he feels the same way. We are both involved with other people and would never cross any lines. How can we share a love that is full of integrity? Can we or should we even have a friendship? And if so, how can I do so without feeling guilty? Or is us meeting just a sign that we're unhappy in our current relationships?
Ooh, that's a good question. I love it. Okay. And you said this person's name is JR?
Right.
Okay. You know, I kind of feel like they're already doing it. Like, I mean, they're already building that relationship, that soul recognition relationship. Gosh, I can't talk. I'm sorry. And yikes. I feel like they're already doing it. And doing it without guilt. How can she do it without guilt? She's got to decide that there's no reason to feel guilty about it. I don't feel like they will cross lines here.
Yeah, and my sense is for JR, there's something I'm picking up about her that I would kind of encourage you to look when you are in a relationship. If my sense is this man is offering something or that's very deep that you don't feel like you're connected to currently in your own relationship. And I sense that there's a potential that you could have that in that relationship. It's something about you opening up or going more deeply, if that makes any sense.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. And the feeling guilty part is like, it's an interesting one. There's a part of you that somehow already thinks you're not doing something on the up and up, so.
Right, and it's like you're not.
Yeah,
it's
and you're not, although I'm wondering if, you know, there seems to be, I sense there's a lot more, shall I say, first chakra zing going on here as well, and that's, you know, that attraction and all of that. And so it's kind of like going out and swimming in the deep waters.
Mm-hmm.
We don't, you know, so it's like, I would just encourage you to get more, do a little more work on what's really up with herself, what's going
Absolutely.
On.
Absolutely. And I feel like part of the other reason why she's doing some guilt around this is because she is receiving from this relationship.
Ah, interesting. Good.
It's
good.
Like, ooh, I am receiving here. And it's like, uh-oh, I'm not receiving here. What does that mean? And
right.
I don't think she has to put a whole lot of meaning on it. I think she does need to dig deeper. And I do feel like there's more available in her love relationship.
Yeah.
So.
Me too. That's good. And we have Jessica from Eureka, California. Jessica, are you there?
I am.
Hello, Jessica. Welcome to the show. What's your question for Audra today?
I have been puzzled. Last week I watched some videos on the internet, did some reading about twin flame soulmates. And I had this question in my mind to God and the angels and everyone, and I was just like, you know, am I ever going to be connected with my twin flame or in this kind of relationship? And I immediately fell asleep. I was asleep for about 2 hours and 20 minutes, and I woke up in, like, the most amazing state of grace. I felt like I had been touched. It was like that I was in the presence of teachers or masters, and they were so brilliant. I couldn't see their faces, but they were so brilliant. And they didn't say anything to me that I can remember about love relationships, but they showed me all this stuff about art and music and literature and just all these, like they were taking me on mini tours around the world, like, this is why you need to stay alive on the earth. Do you, you know, what do you find beneficial about this? So I was like, this is great. I'm into all of this stuff. And when I woke up, I felt like I had been given a very deep lesson. Sure. I felt like I had been given this great lesson, but they didn't say anything about twin flames or soulmates, and I was wondering why I received this dream after asking about that.
Okay, that's a great question. And, we always get messages from our guides and angels that seems like it has absolutely nothing to do with the question that we've asked, but it always does answer the question. And I feel like for you, everything that they were showing you in the dream are things that put you in that heart-centered, pure love energy. And the message is, stay focused on that. Allow yourself to feel that. And that's what attracts the love relationship that you're looking for.
Okay.
It's almost like, it's similar to our first caller. It's like, I don't know if you heard or whatever, but, she was like looking for someone and it felt almost job interview-ish. And I feel like for you, you're not doing it in a job interview way, but I feel like you're doing it with a little bit of a heavy heart about finding somebody. And I feel like when you meet people, there's no enthusiasm. It's almost like any potential is almost like a see, they don't match me either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it just kind
definitely.
Of feels, it results in this heaviness on your heart. And I feel like that message from that dream was like, focus on what you love. Let yourself feel more love energy. Those, music and art and beautiful things inspire you and help you stay in that love energy. And that's what's going to attract the love relationship you're looking for.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, that's perfect.
Well,
thanks for the call. Thanks for the call, Jessica.
Hey.
And in alignment with that, we have an email question that's a little similar, a little different, Audrey. Audrey, who is that? Audra.
You can call me whatever you want.
Audrey, okay.
You know me well
okay.
enough.
This is a question from a woman named Lisa, and she says, Hi, Evie and Audra. I've been alone for some time now. I have occasionally met a man I've been interested in, but nothing seems to come of it despite my efforts. How much longer must I wait, and what do I need to change this?
Okay, and this gal's name you said was Lisa?
Lisa, mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I feel like with Lisa, it's almost like she's really keeping herself contained. I feel like when she does meet potential relationships, it's almost like she doesn't show very much of herself because she doesn't want to give them any reason to not like her. Does that make sense?
No, it makes a lot of sense. It's like I see that. It's like she's under wraps in that kind of holding back. She's not letting out her full, authentic, passionate self.
Right, and so when she meets somebody, they can't really feel her. They don't get a feel for who she is and what she has to offer.
Yeah.
So this isn't about waiting. This is about opening.
Yeah, and it's about stepping in. I keep getting a hit of, stop being on the sidelines of your life. Get in and participate. It's like even if you're doing volunteer work or something, start going to some things, meeting people so that you're in the presence of people and maybe in a place of service so your light is kind of shining and you're coming out.
Right, exactly.
Sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. Doing something that she loves so she can, be herself and feel comfortable being herself out in public would be really good.
Right. Well, I'm going to shift gears. We have they've all been interesting questions. This one is in a little bit of a different direction, and it's from Carrie from Australia. It's more about a mother-daughter relationship. Mm-hmm. And she's wondering if we could offer any guidance about her daughter, Kelsey, who will be 17 on December 21st, 2011. Interesting. For 2 years, she's been having very stressful nights. She's always needing to urinate, go to the toilet constantly every single night and, stay there even if there's nothing to go. There's nothing medically wrong. We sense it's something more emotional or spiritual. Clearly, it stresses her out. She rarely sleeps without nightmares, and she suffers from anxiety. I'm a Reiki master. I'm really into working with angels and guides. And about a year ago, she had a year of what I'd call strong spirit and angelic presence, which was a year of absolute fear, as she puts it. And of late, she's been asking about angels and how cool it would be to see them, but she has a fear of doing this. She can't even pick up a deck of angel cards because she says, quote, the angels aren't there for her and it doesn't work for her. Mm-hmm. And she can't pick up anything about angel books because it scares her so much. I've even suggested that she sit in on some of my workshops. She doesn't want to yet. I know we have past life connections and that maybe I'm a little close to this. But I've tried everything and there's no medical problem. I just wonder if you could give me some guidance on this.
Whew, this one's intense. And I'm sorry, what's this gal's first name, the daughter's first name?
The daughter's name is Kelsey, and she's going to be, she's 16 right now, be 17 in December.
You know, as far as going to the bathroom stuff, you know what's interesting is I feel like she's saying she doesn't see angels, doesn't want to, like, okay, but I feel like she is. I mean, I kind of feel like that's part of the quote-unquote problem, is I do feel like she sees and is aware more than she gives herself permission even to say or to know. But I don't feel like the mom needs to force it on her, and I don't feel like the mom has, but I don't feel like that's necessarily the answer. It's almost like, okay, call it whatever she wants, whatever. I feel like with this gal, with Kelsey, I feel like part of what she's doing is she has such a clear sense of the other side that she's doing all these things, like staying up instead of sleeping, to stay in her body. It's like pulling in all the physical. It's almost like a way to stay here. Does that make sense why I mean that?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And it's almost like a way, I was actually hearing the words spiritual anorexia, and I know that sounds odd, but it's like, you know, anorexics have to be in control of you know, everything. And there's a thing going on here. I sense of she's so attracted and scared, and it's like she wants to control what comes in and goes out. I find it fascinating that it's at night when she's asleep and relaxed that she can't do that. She has to be in the bathroom all night. And there's, I think maybe because Spirit was using that word with me, there's some dynamic where her mom is so loving and so giving and so involved. This is coming up on some unconscious level, like, you can't make me, you know. And it's, I sense almost as if she said, well, if you want to, fine. And if you don't want to, fine. I'm sure you'll figure it out. And just went off about her business that might give her daughter permission to feel more in control and do what she wants to do. Does that make any sense to you?
That totally does. And to me, that actually mimics what I was getting as far as, like, action steps, what she needs to do. I feel like the mom needs to do nothing and stop acting like this is something she's got to fix.
Right.
It's almost like accepting, okay, well, you're not a big sleeper. I am, though, and I'm going to bed. So
you have a good night. Hope you get some rest, honey.
Yeah, and if you get scared, you know, like, okay, there's the, you know, mattress maybe, or the little sleeping bag on the floor in my room, you're more than welcome to, or whatever. But I kind of feel like, I do feel like the daughter is very clearly seeing messages from the other side, definitely getting information. I'm not sure if it's angels or if it's deceased loved ones, but I feel like she's seeing something over there.
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't matter. Like, I feel like labeling it doesn't help.
Right, so, she's almost just trying to shut it down, it sounds like, because it's so scary to her, you know?
Yeah, shut it down and stay here because she wants to be here. She chose to be here on the planet. So it's almost like this, I'm supposed to be here on the planet, but I see all this other stuff, so what am I supposed to do? And so she's forcing herself to stay awake. I don't feel like she has problems during daytime when she's awake. It's that sleep. It's like the sleeping aspect feels so much like crossing onto the other side of the veil, I guess.
Right.
She's battling it.
Well, hopefully, Carrie, that info will help. And we have what looks like will be our last caller of the day, Debbie from Ohio on line 2. Debbie, are you there?
I'm here.
Hello, Debbie. Welcome to the show. What's your question?
Well, hi, Audra. I've had readings from you on 1-2 Angel in the past.
Oh, right on. Thank you, Debbie.
Hi. My question is, I've been single for quite a few years, and I've been in relationships, and I've learned lessons that I know I've needed to learn, and I feel like I'm really ready to finally be in my permanent relationship. And in January, I'm going on a trip to California, and I'm actually getting together with a man that I knew in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this is something that he is the one that I'm meant to be with. I just have that feeling, and I wonder what your thoughts are on that.
What's his first name?
Dave.
Okay. Well, you know, I really feel like there's some really open, welcoming, promising energy around this. I think, Debbie, for you, what I would suggest, though, is trying to eliminate the thought of like, oh, this could be the one out of your mind. I feel like the more you can be relaxed, the better. Because I feel like if you're going, okay, this could be it, it's almost like holding your breath or white-knuckling it on a ride. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's like you want to stay relaxed and open to this. And I feel like Dave, to me, feels like he's actually someone who's pretty giving, pretty generous. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And, like, if you're tight, what can he give you?
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like the more you can stay, kind of stay in that energy of, like, ooh, what's he got to offer? You know, in a playful way, I feel like that's going to be really good. It's going to keep the energy really balanced between the two of you and put you both in a more receptive state.
Yeah, okay. I completely agree. They actually flash a spirit of, like, a kink in a hose, a garden hose. And it's just like let things flow and be in the moment, because it's like when we're thinking that, we're not really in the moment. We're kind of observing instead of creating what could be and just enjoying that. Does that make any sense to you? Yeah.
It does.
Well, thank you.
This is good, Debbie. It feels like it's going to be good. So relax and have fun. And I think if in your head
relax,
you're like, ooh. What's he got to give? You know, what's he, like, you know, let him, it's almost like letting him be the peacock.
Okay.
Right? And you standing and watching the feathers.
Okay.
I like that image.
I feel like that's going to be better than, like, is he the one? Is he the one? Because then it's like there's that push, and it's like, no, stand.
Right. And you're setting yourself up to be disappointed.
Right.
Yeah, it's sort of like spraying around soulmate repellent or something, right?
Right. And it's like, if you're in your mind going, ooh, I want... Yeah. I'm sorry.
Saying
right. If you're in your mind going, ooh, let's see what his feathers look like, it puts you relaxed. It puts him in a position to be able to give you something because you're open to it. Like, let's see what he has to offer.
Okay. Well, he's already starting to, like, I totally intended when I got there to rent a car and meet him somewhere, but he's already offering, he's like, well, no, I'll pick you up at the airport.
Sweet.
So he's already stepping up to the plate in a lot of different ways.
Let him.
Yeah. Let him. And as I would say, of course that doesn't mean we're going to run off and get married. This is like you get to say, ooh, I like those feathers. He wants to pick me up at the airport. What else you got?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sit back
thanks,
and enjoy the beauty of the feathers.
Yeah. Love that image. Thanks for the call, Debbie. And I so regret
thank
that.
Thank you so much.
This is all that we have. Oh, thank you. I'm so sorry with this Skype delay. I feel like I'm talking over people. I'm sorry, Debbie. I thought you had already said goodbye, so I apologize for talking over you. And it looks like that's about all we have time for today. And I know we have a couple of callers still on the line and some emails. And I could only get to so much in an hour. And Audra, being the amazing person that she is, wants to talk about making an offer to you for those that weren't able to get through. And Audra?
Yeah. For those of you who weren't able to get through, you know, I am an advisor over on 1-2-listen.com. I was the host of 1-2-Angel, but we hated being separate. We wanted to merge back with our family. So I'm over on 1-2-listen.com. And if you have an account there, or if you don't have an account, you can just open the account, and then that will give you the access to email me. Email me, and I'll send you 5 free minutes. Just say, you know, hey, heard you on every show, and I'd be happy to send you some minutes.
Great. And that is such a generous and sweet offer. And for anyone out there, you can see that clearly that's about Audra's offering to answer your questions, because that's about the amount of time that we are able to spend on the radio. So I wanted to wish everyone out there a happy Thanksgiving. Boy, it's just a lot to be grateful for. And one thing I'm very grateful to is the love of family and good friends, and very grateful to you, Audra, for being here with us today. It's just been so wonderful to have you, and I hope you'll come back some other time.
I would love to, and I'm really grateful that you invited me. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for being here. It's just great. And because it is Thanksgiving week, This Friday, we're going to do an archive show. It's one of we're going to rerun the one when Camille was a few weeks back on animal communication, which was a really fun show. And I want to thank Dawn and the production team at BBS and my personal production team and Anna and James for their wonderful music we hear each week that reminds us how beautiful we are and to let our light shine. And I'm so grateful and thankful to all of our unseen helpers, our angels, our guides, and our ancestors who are with us always and really are the ones that are responsible for the show. And a special thanks to each and every one of you for listening. And we'll close with a reminder to let that love light shine in you this week and always. Have a great week.